Experts say evidence of widespread overuse of psychotropic medications, revealed by the Disability Royal Commission, shows the need for better training of healthcare workers in the disability sector. The Royal Commission into Violence, Abuse, Neglect, and Exploitation of People with Disabilities was started in April last year, in response to calls from community members and disability advocates to investigate the mistreatment of people with disabilities in Australia. This sixth hearing is looking into the use of psychotropic medication as a method of behavioral control and chemical restraint when patients are displaying what are clinically referred to as behaviors of concern. These can include aggression, screaming or yelling, or physical violence. Aged and Disability Advocacy Australia CEO Jeff Rowe says these behaviors are often an outlet for some people with disability who have difficulty articulating what they're feeling.
Sometimes it comes back to the fact that because a person can't articulate, it might be that they're experiencing pain or experiencing frustration. So the sorts of things that you and I can say, a person with a disability who is not verbal doesn't have that opportunity.
Psychotropic medication is any medication affecting the chemistry of the brain, often with the goal of treating mental illness or mental degradation. These medications include, but are not limited to, antidepressants, antipsychotics, mood stabilizers such as lithium, and anti-dementia medication. Consultant pharmacist Dr. Manya Angley told the Royal Commission these medications should only be prescribed to people with a disability as an absolute last resort, and to administer the drugs for anything less is a neglect of their human rights.
I also think if they are prescribed medicines because of their tranquilizing effects or their sedative effects, rather than addressing the underlying problems, then that is abuse.
Experts say there are much less dangerous and invasive methods of behavior support, such as creating a behavior support plan or working with a client to understand their methods of communication. Dr. Angley says while these behavioral solutions are more time-consuming, these plans can address the underlying causes of behavior instead of just stopping the behavior itself.
It's about having a behavior support plan that is person-centered, and that will be developed by professionals with expertise in that area, whether it's an occupational therapist or a developmental disability education specialist. And it's a program that meets a person's needs to reduce any exacerbation of challenging behaviours.
University of Melbourne Professorial Fellow for Disability and Inclusion and Clinical Psychologist Professor Keith McVillie says the overuse of psychotropic drugs to address behaviours of concern could be due to a lack of resources, undertrained support workers, and severe understaffing.
They're under an incredible amount of pressure, and they see a patient in front of them, they see a distressed parent or a distressed support worker, and the quickest thing that they can do is reach for that prescription pad. But while that might be quick, and while it might solve the situation in the short term, it doesn't actually resolve the underlying problem for the person.
Psychotropic medications, such as antipsychotics, can have a wide range of side effects when used to restrain patients, including exposing them to a higher risk of heart disease, strokes, permanent brain damage, or death. Despite these dangers, there's currently no mandatory level of training or study to work in the disability sector as a support worker. Professor McVillie says while untrained members of staff might have the best of intentions and care deeply about their clients, this is no substitute for proper training and education.
I see advertisements for direct support positions posted onto to job boards and the like, and it says, no experience necessary. We'll train you up. Come along. They might have a heart of gold, but unless they've also got the knowledge and skills, it's downright dangerous.
University of Queensland Senior Research Fellow and Clinical Psychiatrist Dr. Catherine Franklin told the Commission the public are kept in the dark about the realities of the disability support sector.
I think people would really think that there were extensive health services for people with intellectual and developmental disability, and they might be shocked to learn that there are not.
Mr. Rose says he, as well as many disability advocates and support services, aren't surprised by these testimonies.
They're the things that people tell us about each day. I'd like to say, oh, we're learning new things, but, you know, as an advocacy organisation, we're often one of the first places that people with a disability will go to seek assistance.
And that was Aged and Disability Advocacy Australia CEO Jeff Rowe, ending that story by Harley Lewis.